Welcome to the Central Media Office of Hizb ut-Tahrir's English podcast. Press release. The Egyptian regime's abandonment of Gaza. From preventing support, even with words, to collusion with the blockade. In a recurring scene, with every disaster befalling the besieged people of Gaza, the Arab regimes, led by the Egyptian regime, prove that they are not only absent from their duty of support, but are also present in a position of conspiracy and betrayal, and even actively participating in the siege, guarding the crossings and preventing any symbolic or popular initiative aimed at supporting the oppressed Muslims. On June 11, 2025, the Egyptian regime deported 12 Moroccan activists who had arrived legally at Cairo airport to participate in the Global March to Gaza, a symbolic convoy called by activists from around the world, both Arab and non-Arab, to highlight the ongoing siege, starvation, and killing in the Gaza Strip for months. Instead of Egypt, Gaza's only open gateway, welcoming them with aid and support, opening their way to Rafah to witness the injustice they are experiencing, the response was humiliating security treatment and immediate deportation. They were not carrying weapons, nor did they call for bombings or sabotage. Rather, they came with hearts filled with hope that they would take a symbolic stand in solidarity with a Muslim people being slaughtered day and night. Yet they were besieged inside the airport, interrogated with humiliating questions, and given the choice between detention or deportation, as if solidarity with Gaza were a crime under this regime. It is inconceivable that this incident was accidental or related to mere border control, as the Egyptian Ministry of Foreign Affairs claimed. It is well known that Rafah crossing is completely under Egyptian control and is open to the Egyptian regime at will. Indeed, it can allow anyone it wants to enter and prevent anyone it wants from entering. However, this authority over the crossing has never been used to support the people of Gaza. Rather, it has remained a means of pressure and siege exercised in the name of sovereignty, transforming it into a tool to serve the security of the Jewish entity. Those who tightly close the crossing to aid, prevent symbolic convoys, suppress solidarity, demonstrations, and classify feelings of anger as a security threat cannot be excused by ignorance or incompetence. Rather, they are complicit in the crime. Muslims in Gaza or elsewhere must not be left to face killing, siege, starvation, and destruction without the support of the Ummah, especially those capable of providing them with aid. The Egyptian regime, with its army, apparatus, and capabilities, is among the most capable. It is not excused for remaining silent. Rather, it is sinful for neglecting its duty. Allah Almighty says, وَإِنْ اسْتَنْصَرُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ فَعَلَيْكُمُ النَّصْرِ. But if they seek your help against persecution and faith, it is your obligation to help them. Al-Anfal 72. If merely seeking aid necessitates aid, how can it be so when the people of Gaza have repeatedly cried out for help, and the Islamic Ummah everywhere has demonstrated its readiness to stand with them? So what was the regime's position? It neither supported them nor even allowed anyone who wanted to offer them consolation. What's even more astonishing is that the regime has shifted from a position of complicity to one of obstructing every initiative, even those that do not threaten its authority, as if merely expressing solidarity with Gaza has become, in its view, a security threat. This shows that it has made an explicit decision to side with the enemy of the nation and that it views the issue of Palestine as nothing more than a burden whose incitement must be silenced. The Egyptian army and the regime that holds the political and military power must direct their forces not toward blocking convoys or closing crossings, but toward opening the crossing by force, breaking the siege on Gaza, striking Jewish strongholds, and liberating all of Palestine. They must not stand in the ruins of the Rafah crossing, awaiting permission from America or approval from Tel Aviv. The land of Palestine is an occupied Islamic land. Its liberation is the duty of all Muslims, and first and foremost of the armies. This is an absolute religious duty that cannot be waived by the passage of time or by invoking international agreements or treacherous treaties. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fukul ani, free the captive." So where are the armies from liberating thousands of prisoners in Jewish jails? Indeed, where are they from liberating the prisoners besieged inside the Gaza Strip? The borders have been transformed into a vast prison, tightly sealed in the name of sovereignty. Sovereignty is innocent of Islam if it prevents Muslims from supporting their brothers. What the activists did, despite its symbolic nature and its inability to help the people of Gaza, reflects an advanced awareness within the Ummah, one that has not died nor forgotten its duty. However, the problem lies not with the people, but with the regimes that guard the Jewish entity, normalize relations with it openly or secretly, and fight the nation over its religion, beliefs, and positions. The Egyptian regime today is not standing idly by. Rather, it is an active party in the equation of strangling Gaza. Indeed, its participation in the blockade often exceeds the criminality of the Jews, as it prevents even the air of mercy from reaching the Strip. It beats activists, persecutes journalists, deports those who express solidarity, and silences voices because it realizes that any free voice is a threat to its subservient, servile rule. One of the greatest disasters perpetrated by the post-Sykes-Picot regimes was the implantation of the concept of national sovereignty, whereby Moroccan Muslims became strangers in Egypt, Egyptian Muslims became foreigners in Syria, and Jordanian Muslims became intruders in Palestine. This contradicts Islam, which created a single ummah, recognizing no borders, passports, or visas. Does a Moroccan Muslim need a visa to reach Palestine? Should he be questioned about his intention to show solidarity, or has support become a crime and betrayal and honor in the eyes of client regimes? What happened at Cairo Airport was not a passing incident. Rather, it is a symptom of a chronic illness afflicting the ruling regime, its betrayal of the nation and its faith, and its involvement in the American Zionist project to liquidate the Palestinian cause. This regime cannot be fixed by patching it up or appealing to it. Rather, it can only be fixed by uprooting it and establishing in its place the Islamic system, the Khilafah Rashida, rightly guided caliphate, based on the method of the prophethood, which normalizes armies to liberate Al-Aqsa and raise the banner of Islam. What the Ummah, especially its youth, must realize is that the path to Palestine does not pass through supplication to regimes nor through symbolic convoys, despite their meaningful symbolism. Rather, it passes through radical change in Muslim lands, through the establishment of an Islamic state that knows nothing but victory or martyrdom. O soldiers of the Kinana, the liberation of Palestine is a duty upon you, and nothing is more obligatory after faith than carrying it out. Expelling the military presence of the infidels from Muslim lands is a duty upon you before anyone else. When an attack occurs on Muslim lands, or when it is known that the enemy is preparing to invade Muslim lands, jihad is obligatory to repel the enemy until everyone in that land is sufficient. If the enemy gains control over it, the obligation of jihad shifts from that land to those next to them. If they are unable to do so, then it is upon those next to them, and so on until the obligation encompasses all Muslims. If the enemy gains control over a specific land, jihad becomes voluntary for the people of the occupied lands as they become prisoners. However, it remains an obligation for those able to do so among the Muslims in the land surrounding the occupied area. Since the regime that governs you prohibits jihad to liberate the occupied lands, and whatever is necessary for an obligation is itself an obligation. Removing this regime is obligatory to restore jihad and liberate the lands of Islam and its sanctities. And before that, the crowning obligation ruling by Islam in its state, the Khilafah Rashida, based on the method of the prophethood. O soldiers of the Kinana, you have been and continue to be a shield for the Ummah, a weapon in its hand. Reclaim your freedom, stand with your Ummah, and sever the shackles of the rulers that surround you. Discard their privileges, ranks, and salaries. Put your hands in the hands of those who will lead you to a paradise as wide as the heavens and the earth, for it is more beneficial for you and more lasting with Allah. Carry with them the concerns of your ummah and reclaim its authority under the auspices of Islam and its state, the Khilafah Rashida, based on the method of the prophethood. وما لكم لا تقاتلون في سبيل الله والمستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان. And what is it with you? You do not fight in the cause of Allah and for oppressed men, women, and children. An-Nisa 75, Media Office of Hizb al-Tahrir in Wilaya, Egypt.